Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hey, good morning to you. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors at Next Level Church. If this is your first time with us, I'm so honored that you're here today. If you're a regular, if you're an owner, very honored that you would come today as well. Something we do at Next Level is we've partnered with a free app called YouVersion. If you're a regular, you've heard this before and you know the deal, go ahead and open up your tablet or smartphone and you can get ready to take some notes. If you're a first-time visitor, the steps are up there on the screen. You can download the app. It is a free app. It's a great resource and tool for you to use during the week. And it goes along with the talk. So if you'd like to get a little bit more out of the talk, go ahead and download that and open up YouVersion. I'd like to start by asking you guys a question. And this is a not a rhetorical question. I need you to actually participate and throw an answer back. What are those green things? The green things that move around? The green things that some people drive? They're green things. The army uses them. There's a big cannon. What did you say? You're welcome. Ba-dum-ching. I'll be here all day. Today we're talking about giving thanks, and this is an incredibly important topic to talk about because I believe that if you are giving thanks, you are actually in God's will. And if you want to line your life up with where God's going and what God wants, if you want to receive God's best, it's going to include giving thanks. If you want to miss out on God's best, it includes not giving thanks. And this is incredibly important for everyone that is here. As we're gearing up for Thanksgiving week, there's a lot of things that happen during the week of Thanksgiving that at times test our ability to give thanks. And sometimes we have so much stuff going on and so much preparation and so much stress of family coming in that we forget to take some time to do what this holiday was originally designed to do, and that is to give thanks. And I want to show you how important this is for you today in our text. But before we dive into the text, I want to give you a little bit of context because I think the context is incredibly important for us to get what the author was saying. The text that we're going to read today comes from a primetime player by the name of Paul. He is a main guy throughout the New Testament of the Bible. And Paul went around the world telling people about Jesus. And a lot of the people that he told, he would then start a church. And one day, Paul was visiting an area called Thessalonica. It was a booming city, a pretty big city. And he visited Thessalonica, and he did what was his custom. He would go to the synagogue first, and he would tell those, the Jews that already believed in God, he would say, hey, your Messiah has come. Jesus is the next step. It is time to follow him. And those that would believe, then he would start a church. Oftentimes, he would get beat up, or he would get stoned, or he would get put in prison because simply he was telling them about Jesus. But in Thessalonica, he got a great response. In fact, a large crowd started following Jesus and started saying, okay, we're going to convert to this thing called Christianity. We're going to believe. And it was such a large group that another group of Jews, religious Jews, got jealous of everything that Paul was doing, and they stirred up a riot. Like a real riot. If you want to see what this looks like, look at pictures of Missouri, what's going on, Ferguson, Missouri. It was that type of crazy riot, like people just going berserk, wanting to just beat people up over the fact that Paul had brought this message that was literally changing the world to Thessalonica. Well, Paul escapes during the night, and he leaves before he can get beat up, and he goes to a town that is next to it called Berea. And he's in Berea, and he's telling them about Jesus, and they're starting to respond. And because Berea was kind of close to Thessalonica, this group that got so upset, this mob, they decided to go to Berea and start beating up and persecuting the Christians in Berea. So Paul has to flee for his life again, and he doesn't have a lot of time to plug into and to pour into this new group of Christians that has now formed this church. And so as he's leaving and traveling around the world, he writes them a letter to encourage them. And I want to make sure that you get this context. He is not writing to a group of people who have never experienced pain or heartache. He's not writing to a group of people who is having everything great happen to them. In fact, their life is probably more difficult now that they have Jesus than before they found him. Because before Jesus, they weren't being persecuted. Now they're being persecuted, and their very lives are being threatened. And so with that understanding, let's look at what Paul has to say to them and ultimately to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And I just want to remind you that Paul is not writing to people who have become millionaires because they believed in Jesus. He's not writing to people who have never had a hard day or a problem. He's writing to people who are in the midst of being persecuted for believing in Jesus. And he says, hey, I want to tell you about God's will. This is God's will for you. God's will is that you rejoice always, that you pray continually. This next part is so important. You give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so often, in Christian circles, the question of what is God's will for me is something that people ask. If you're new to the church scene, if you're new to God, maybe it's not something you've wrestled with, but after you've been following God for a little while, you want to make him happy, you want to please him, you want to live your life in a way that honors him. And so oftentimes, when a Christian is faced with a tough decision, where it might be a great decision, maybe they have two job opportunities and they just don't know which job to take, they're presented with a chance to move and it looks like a good opportunity, but they don't know if it's the right opportunity. Or maybe if you're in high school and you're getting multiple chances to go to multiple colleges, and it's like, I just don't know what to do. And it is on a almost regular basis that I sit down with someone in my office and they say, I am just struggling. I have great decisions to make, but I just don't want to mess it up. I just want to know what is God's will. And that is a great question. If you're not asking that question, you should be asking that question. God, what is your plan? What is your will for me? And for me, about 3.5 years ago, I really wrestled with this question of what is God's will. 3.5 years ago, I felt this leading to start a church. And what you need to know about this, if you haven't heard this story before, you need to know that I did not feel equipped to start a church. I didn't feel like I was gifted to start a church. In fact, the first two people that I told I was going to start a church, they told me, don't do it. You can't do it. It's not going to work. Stay away from starting a church. And so I had all these fears inside of me. And the biggest fear was that I had a feeling that I should start a church, but I never heard God say, start a church. I never heard him appear in a burning bush and say, start a church. I never heard him audibly say from heaven, start a church. And to just add like drama to this whole situation, to kind of put yourself in my shoes, this is what we were going through 3.5 years ago. We had just given my wife had just given birth to twins. They're 3.5 years old now, and so we had kids for the first time in our marriage. And I was working at a great job that gave me great insurance and paid me really, really well. And there was a big fear that if I jump out and I start this church, what if it doesn't take off? What if it doesn't work? To make matters even more dramatic, my wife, at the exact same time this is going on, she had made the decision to stay at home with the kids and to quit her job. So like we were banking on this church plant thing making it. And just to kind of give you a little bit more fear, just so you kind of know my shoes, what I was going through, I didn't have a plan B. Like I feel like I'm gifted and I feel like I am called, and I feel like the best things that God gave me is being a pastor, and I try to do that the best of my ability. If this thing didn't work out, like I don't have other options. I don't have other skills that work outside of the church field. When the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm screwed. Like I have nothing to offer anyone except for pastoral skills. Just to make sure you understand this, my degree, I was so convinced that I was called to ministry. My degree in college is a youth ministry degree, a degree to learn how to minister, to pastor teenagers. I then went on to get a master's, and it took me 93 credits to get my master's, and my master's is in divinity, translation, a master's of God, and I feel very proud that I got a master's. In fact, for years, I used to joke with my wife, because she really values education, and I would joke with her that I'm a master, and she's not, and just kind of poke fun at her. Well, a couple years ago, my wife went to William and Mary, and she got her master's degree, and so she came back and started kind of poking fun back at me and saying, well, now I'm a master, but I've actually one-upped you, because I went to the prestigious William and Mary and got my master's, and I had to remind her that God trumps William and Mary. I have a degree in God. She is not on the master level yet. All right, so I feel great about my decision to get a youth ministry degree and to get a master's in God. But if this thing doesn't work out, there are not a lot of jobs that are hiring for a master's in God. Like that doesn't do a lot of good. So I was scared to death like scared, like just petrified, scared. God, I kind of sense, I think you're telling me to do this. I feel really strongly about it, but would you just speak? Would you just tell me if this is your will? If it's going to fail, like, don't let me do it. I've got a lot of good things going on. It's a lot safer. It's a way more wise decision to stay where I'm at. So would you just tell me? And I got nothing. I had silence, not a zip, zilch. And it was during that time of wrestling that I really felt and believed that God cares more about who you are than what you do. God cares more about who you are than what you do. Does God care about what you do? Yes, he's given us some standards, some rules, some things to live by. He cares. He wants what is best for you, and he wants you to obey, and he wants you to follow him. But when you're faced with a decision, and it is a good decision, I have two colleges, both look good. I have two job opportunities. I have a decision. Should we move or should we stay? When you have a decision to make and it is a good decision, in that moment, God's not saying, you know what, if you don't pick option A, you're out of my will and your life is going to be over. Do not pick option A. I don't think that God is up there saying, man, I can't, do not do that. You're going to ruin your life. I think God is entrusting us to make decisions. And if you have good choices out there, good decisions, then you jump out there and you say, okay, I've prayed about it, I've thought about it, I've sought wise counsel, and now that I've done that, I'm going to step into God's will. Whatever decision I make is God's will. And how do we know that? Because God cares more about who you are. And who are you in that moment? Are you the type of person that can rejoice always, that can pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstance? That's God's will for your life. So God's will is not that you just always have a great day or that nothing bad ever happens. And God's will is not that you pick the red truck versus the blue truck or you pick UVA versus Tech. Some of you think that might be God's will, but that's not God's will or God's plan. God's will is that in any circumstance, no matter what happens, that you find a way to give thanks. And the only way to do that is if you have a relationship with God where you are really pouring into him, where you can say, no matter how this turns out, if I start this church and it fails, God, I'm going to find a way to give thanks, even if it doesn't work out, because I know that was your will for me. This is such an important idea and such an important concept that I actually want us to memorize this verse. So here's how this is going to work out. We're going to actually memorize it, and I believe, I'm convinced that motions help you memorize things more than just saying it. And so tomorrow, when you go to work and someone asks you how church was, because I know that's what people ask you on Monday, how was your church service? You can say, it was fantastic. We memorized the text. It was mind-blowing, and we're all going to memorize this verse right here. And so I'm going to teach you some motions, and then we're going to stand up, and you're going to do this, okay? So the very first part of the verse is, be joyful always. And when I thought of a motion to go with that, I couldn't help but think of like cheerleaders. So you're going to do like happy fingers and some type of cheer, like be joyful always. Okay? If you don't have room to kick, don't kick the person in front of you or the chair. Do a little side kick, but you're going to do happy fingers. Be joyful always. And then the next part of the verse is pray continually. So you're going to take your hands and just act like you're praying. Pray continually. Okay? The next part is give thanks. And this is thanks in sign language. So you're just going to go give thanks. The next part is in all circumstances. And I tried to think of what is a circumstance that would be really hard for me to give thanks to. And the first thing that came to my mind was if I just woke up and I was naked in public. And so we're going to do give thanks in all circumstances. You're just going to kind of cover yourself. Okay? I really thought you guys were going to laugh more at that. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this, you're going to point down like you're almost spiking a ball. For this is God's will for you, okay? Then you're going to point up for God's will for you, okay? So we're going to try this. We're going to try this again, all right? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you, okay? You guys did great. All right, stand up. We're going to do this again. One more time with me, and then you're going to do it on your own, all right? Ready? One, two, three. And you can say it out loud. Don't just do the motion. Say it out loud, okay? All right? One, two, three, go. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. That was awesome. Okay. All right. It's not on the screens. I'm not going to help you. You're on your own this time, okay? One, two, three. Awesome. Give yourselves a hand. That was awesome. I laugh because some of you are not very ashamed to like wake up naked in public. Some of you are just like, whatever. That was a petrifying thought for me. All right, so what is God's will for you? It's that you rejoice always, that you pray continually, that you give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. But I want to make sure that you guys understand what Paul is saying. Paul says give thanks in all circumstances. Paul does not say give thanks for all circumstances. And there is a difference. There are certain things that we are not thankful for. Certain things happen to us, and we're not glad that they happen. We're not like, woo, I'm so glad I got cancer. Woo, thank you. There are certain things that happen to us when you get fired from a job, when you lose a job, when you lose a loved one. There are certain things that happen in your life, and you are not thankful for those things. If you're thankful for things that hurt you, you are a masochist. A masochist is someone who enjoys pain or pleasure or being subjected to pain or humiliation. God is not a masochist. Paul was not a masochist. You're not supposed to be a masochist. When bad things happen, as a Christian, it's okay to say, that hurt. It's okay to cry. It's okay to say, I don't have an answer for this. It's okay to say, man, God, I was really counting on you to come through in this situation, and I trust you that you got some plan. I trust you that you got something going on, but God, right now, I don't see it, and I'm hurting. And as a Christian, just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that everything's going to always go your way or that you're never going to experience pain or even suffering. There are going to be times in this life that you are not going to be thankful for everything that happened to you. When we had a miscarriage, I wasn't thankful for the miscarriage. When our twins were born, and 6 months into being born, we could see their stomachs protruding out the bottom of their bellies. We weren't thankful for that. When they had to go get surgery at 6 months old, we weren't thankful for the surgery. We were scared out of our minds. There are certain things that you are not thankful for, and it is okay to hurt. It is okay to say, hey, I need some help here. In fact, 3.5 years ago, when I was wrestling with this whole church thing, this church planning thing, I went through a 3-week period of depression, and I'd never experienced this before. I couldn't shake it. I couldn't pray it away. I couldn't just be happy. It was a 3-week period that no matter what I did, I was just depressed. And I ended up going to see a Christian counselor to try to talk about these feelings and these emotions, and I had to figure out what is going on here, because there's this heavy weight inside of me, and I'm not thankful for the depression. I'm not thankful for that period of my life. And Paul doesn't say that you thank God for the bad things that have happened or the tough stuff that's happened. You don't have to thank God for that crazy relative that's going to be spending time in your house this Thursday. You're thankful in every circumstance. You're thankful in every circumstance. Now, this is something that I know it's easier said than done, but this really is God's will for you. If you want to experience God's will, you've got to will yourself. You've got to push yourself and lead yourself and remind your mind to be thankful in every circumstance. There is a guy that is a living example of this, and he is a guy maybe you've heard of. He's a guy that has actually become pretty famous, and he's been famous both just on the internet and in interviews. His name is Nick Vujicic, and Nick is an interesting story because he was born in a pastor's family, I believe in Australia. And when he was born, right away at birth, he was born without arms and without legs. And his family was crushed over this. Their only kid, their only son, was born with huge deformities. And him growing up as a kid, there was even a time in his life where he tried to commit suicide and take his life because he just had all these thoughts of, like, I'll never be normal, I'll never get married, I can never get a job. And he has since really turned this into a ministry of really helping people understand how they can overcome even like awful situations in life. And there is a clip that I want to show you today because it is so powerful, because it is something that he lives. It is something that is a part of every talk that he gives. And I want you guys to hear what Nick has to say is the power of overcoming some difficult circumstances. Check this out.
I wasn't ready.
I
no arms and no legs, but I'm very thankful that I have my little chicken drumstick here. People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water slide all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is looking up and waiting for other people to come down. And here I come and they're freaking out. They're like, you know, like this. And I was so tempted to look at myself and go, what happened? You know? And there were times where I sort of looked at my life and thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And you keep on concentrating on the things that you wish you had or the things that you wish you didn't have. And you sort of forget what you do have. And there's no point, I believe, in my life where I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, I wish I had arms and legs, because wishing won't help. But what I've seen in life are just a couple key principles. And the first thing that I've seen is to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful, man. I tell you, when I was 8 years old, I sort of summed up my life and thought, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have a life of purpose. What kind of a husband am I going to be if I can't even hold my wife's hand? It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
Oh boy. Woo! It's freezing, I can't feel my hands.
I don't know if you caught what Nick said, but he said the first key is to be thankful, to give thanks. And the way that he was able to overcome his depression, the way that he was able to overcome these just feelings that he was never going to amount to anything, was he had to learn to be thankful in the circumstances. He's not thankful for the fact that he was born without arms and legs. He is thankful in the circumstance. There was another interview I saw where Nick said, I either have a chance to be angry at God for what I don't have or thankful for God for what I do have. I love that quote. You can either focus on what you don't have and get angry at God. God, why me? Why aren't I married yet? God, why did my marriage end in divorce? God, why are my kids the way that they are? God, why is my health the way it is? You can either get mad at God for what you don't have, or you can be thankful for God for what you do have. Now, here's what I want to do with our remaining time. I want to make this incredibly practical, because there's some of you that you're more optimists. Like, you see the glass as being half full. You are the type that believes in unicorns and sees rainbows all the time. And you're like, just amen, this is the greatest talk I've ever heard. This is just my life. Woohoo, life is great. You're an optimist. There are others, though, that there's a guy in my Next Level group that he calls this. He doesn't call it being negative or pessimist. He calls it being a realist, that you see the glass and you see it as not only half empty, but you also see all the finger smudges on the glass, and you notice that the ice is melted and the beverage doesn't taste good anymore. So that you're a realist. And so you're thinking, how do I do this? Like, okay, I hear the command that it is God's will for me to give thankful, but let's be real. I'm not the rainbows and unicorn type person. Like, how do I do this? I don't know how to do this. I think that's a great question to ask. This week I was hanging out with my son at dinner. I was trying to encourage him because my son Hayden is either literally the best kid in the history of the world or not the best kid in the history of the world. He is one of two extremes. He is either like, you are just like, you are so sweet and so kind and so caring and you're just like so proud of him, or you're just like, when did you get possessed by a demon? Like, and there's no middle ground. It is extremes. And this week, he showed some growth in that some things didn't go his way, and he really showed some restraint. He didn't freak out. He didn't go to level 10, and I was very proud of him. And so we went to dinner, and when my wife told me how he did, I looked at him, and I said, Hayden, I am so proud of you. I'm so proud that you had a happy heart. That's what we call it to him. You had a happy heart. And he smiled, and he said, but Daddy, sometimes I get mad. And I said, yeah, buddy, sometimes I get mad too. Everybody gets mad, but when you get mad, you have to still choose to have a happy heart. And he said, but Daddy, I just don't know how. And that is what some of you are saying, minus the daddy part. You are saying, you're saying, I hear it. I hear that I'm supposed to be thankful, but I just don't know how. So I want to show you, and if you're taking notes, this would be a great point to write down, because you're going to need to remind yourself of this in times when you feel like you have nothing to be thankful for. I want to show you four ways the Bible tells us to be thankful. All right, we know we're supposed to be thankful, but here are some ways that you can make this practical. And not only am I going to tell you about this, we're actually going to experience them, And we're actually going to do these four ways in the service. And so they're going to come up on the screen. If you're taking notes, you can go ahead and start. Now, the first way that the Bible tells us to give thanks is through praying, through prayer. And a verse to go along with that is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So instead of being anxious, instead of being worried about a situation, instead of saying, what happens if I get fired, instead of saying, what happens if she leaves, instead of allowing worry to consume you, you are to pray in every situation. But did you notice how you're supposed to pray? With thanksgiving. You are to pray with thanksgiving. Here's how this works. This does not mean that you are thankful for every situation. It is okay to say, God, this stinks. I do not like this. I didn't like the report I got from the doctor. I didn't like that she left. I didn't like that he left. I didn't like that they talked behind my back. I don't like that I'm hurting, but I'm going to find a way to be thankful. God, I don't like my job right now, but I thank you that I have an income. In this day and age, there are lots of people who can't find a job. So I am thankful that I have an income, even though I do not like my job. God, we're going through some stress in our marriage, but I am thankful that I am not alone. And I'm thankful that I have someone to fight with, because there are lots of people who would just die to have someone that they could be married to. And so I am thankful. I'm going to find a way to give thanks in this circumstance. God, my looks are fading. I no longer feel beautiful. I'm going to give you thanks anyway. I'm thankful that that means that creepy guys aren't going to hit on me anymore. You find a way to give thanks in the circumstance. Give thanks. It is through prayer. It is by saying, God, I am going to find a way. And so this is what I want you to do. I actually want you to take a few seconds to thank God for something. Some of you have had a hard year. Some of you had a hard week. But you're going to find it. You're going to give thanks in a circumstance. Right now, we're all going to close our eyes. We're going to pray. I'm not even going to tell you what to do. You are just going to give thanks. God, I am thankful for, and just start rattling it off. Just start telling him what you're thankful for. Go ahead and close your eyes and start praying. Let's give God thanks. Amen. Number two, second way the Bible tells us to give thanks is through singing. Through singing. Psalm 100, 4 through 5 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God is the one that invented music. God gave us the ability to sing. And there's something powerful with singing. When you are feeling depressed, sing. Find a way to sing. You find a way to just sing and or listen to music that uplifts you. Music is incredibly powerful. Sing. And some of you are saying, well, I can't sing. You are a prison singer. You are behind every bar and you can't find the key. And you're like, I don't sing well. That's why I don't sing. And God is not saying sing well. He's saying just sing. And there are times where you have to force yourself. A couple weeks ago, I was going through a situation, and I wasn't feeling very thankful, and I just started singing, God, I just want to know you better. God, I want to know you better, know you better, know you better now. I thought I'd written a song, but it actually was ripped off of Taylor Swift. It was a bridge to one of her songs with Ed Sheeran, but I just kept singing this over and over again. God, I want to know you better, know you better. Just singing and singing and singing and reminding my brain to give thanks. And God, I just want to know you. In the midst of this situation, I want to know you. So we're going to end the service with some singing, singing back to God. We've already sang. We're going to practice this, though, in a minute. Number three is giving. Giving. Giving is the third way God tells us to express our thanks. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I want to make sure that you understand this, because there's a weird phenomenon that happens to us. Outside of the church world, we all believe it is better to give than it is to receive. There's something inside of us. We just feel really good about ourselves when we can give. And this is something that even like little kids know. My kids are constantly making me pictures. And, Daddy, I drew this for you. And they get so excited to give me a gift. They don't have much to give, but they give me what they have. And so we believe it is better to give than it is to receive, except for when we go to church. When we go to church, we believe it is better to receive than it is to give. And there is a spiritual principle here. When God has blessed you with something, with anything, whether it's talents, gifts, money. When God has blessed you, he didn't just bless you with that for yourself. He blessed you so you could be a blessing to other people. And when you give, it results in thanksgiving. If you're an owner at Next Level Church, if this isn't your first time here, maybe you notice that there was an ugly white building that now has a bulldozer sitting on top of it. That happened because many of you were generous and you gave financially. And now we're at a place we were able to spend the money, a good amount of money, to tear that building down. And we need to build our savings back up. And we are hoping and counting on that you will continue to give generously. When you give to Next Level Church, it goes to things like the staff's salary. It goes to make sure that we can support our families. It goes to keep the power on. It goes to keep the heat on, the air conditioning in the summer. It goes to give to missions. We try to give 10% of what we bring in to missions around the world. It goes to helping single mom. We had a single mom a couple weeks ago that came to our church and just said, I have nothing. My two kids are in school, and when they come back, I've lost my place to live. I don't have any money. I don't have nothing. Can you help? And because your generous giving, we were able to bless her, and in that, she gave thanks. And so today, for some of you, you can give thanks by giving, and you can place whatever God leads on your heart to give in the envelope which is in your chair and hand it to the ushers on your way out, or you can actually go on our website and you can give online. But giving is a way that we express thanks to God. And the fourth and final one is remembering. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. There's something incredibly powerful about remembering, and there are times in your life where you're going to go through something so difficult, you need something to remember. You need something to write down. If you're experiencing the greatness of God, the goodness of God right now, write it down so that when you're going through a tough time, you can go back and look at it and say, okay, I remember this. I remember I have something good to hold on to. And this is, in my opinion, why Jesus gave us the practice of communion. Communion, what did Jesus say? When Jesus gave the practice of communion, he said, this is my body, this bread is my body, broken. Take this in remembrance of me. And he poured wine into the glass and he said, drink this in remembrance of me. Why? There are some times when you don't have a lot to be thankful for and you've got to will yourself to remember what Jesus did for you. I'm going to be thankful. And so in just a few moments, we're going to take communion as a chance to remember. And this is a chance for you just to reflect, for you to remember, what has God done for you? And I just want you to think about how God has forgiven you of every sin you've ever committed, your past sins, your current sins, your future sins. I want you to remember how God has blessed you, how has he protected you. I want you to remember how God has provided for you. And I just want you to remember, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for how you died for me. We're going to spend time remembering. And so we're going to do that through communion in just a moment. But I really do believe that you will never experience the greatness of God until